Well, I think actually there are two separate issues. One is whether we can disclose who it is that's asking for a director's inspection and where at, and the other is what they're asking to inspect.
Yes, thank you. That's it.
And this is Lydia. I also have a question, comment.
Sure, go ahead before I make some sort of ruling on this.
Okay. Well, unless something has radically changed the last time I read Cal Corp, is that you don't have to give a reason, but we have established a procedure to have it during working hours, et cetera, give some notice, but you don't have to state a reason. So whether it's public session or executive session, I don't think that's applicable. With regard to having to go through the chair for information that directors are entitled to, I mean, certainly any director can make a request, and if it's not granted, they can call it an inspection, and then it would have to be, and there's no evidence that some requests would incur any cost. Transcripts are not available on court sites, it's reasonable to expect that our attorneys would have those, and then that would be free because they already have it. Thank you.
Okay, so just to clarify that, transcripts are not automatically generated for cases. They usually are only requested.
I understand that.
So to appeal, yeah. So
and
that's
information.
But the response earlier was if something has already been requested and we have it, then we're only talking duplication costs. Yes, and transcripts would never be on websites. But, you know, the issue is, of course, requesting things that we may not already have in possession. And ask for the director. I'm sorry, is that true?
Just a point of clarification here, Madam Chair.
I have a point of
order. I'm not asking for what. I'm asking for who.
I know that. No, I'm perfectly clear on what you were asking, Carolyn. Thank you. Teresa?
Yeah. I'm very much confused. It seems like Lydia was talking about transcripts, and I thought what we were talking about was the inspection.
We were. Those were two separate topics. I think she was bringing up the thing that was... I went back and forth via email earlier, and to which
I would like to get some clarification. As I guess I want to make sure I get in stack to talk about the transcripts issue. So I don't know where.
Get into the stack.
One moment. Okay. Yes, Teresa. What is it you want to talk about on the transcripts issue? I mean, we're in the chair's report section. I'll just go ahead and take it. I haven't made a ruling on Carolyn's request yet. I'll do that in a second. But go ahead, Teresa. What did you want to say about transcripts?
Okay, well, I'm just somewhat confused here. As to the inspections, which item are we discussing now? Were we discussing that? Are we going to go back to the transcript issue? Or are we finished? Because I do have a question about the inspections, too. So when am I going to get my answer about the inspections?
Okay, the issue regarding what people are requesting is not something that they are required to provide to us. What you had asked is that you would like to ask those directors. I do not know that those directors are on the call tonight. It would be appropriate to ask that in the executive session.
The day, Madam Chair?
Thank you, Campbell. I am moving on, honestly. Anyhow, it's something that needs to be asked in executive session, okay? They're not required to give you that information. I don't even know if they're here to get it.
Okay.
Carolyn, I will
definitely bring that up during executive session. Okay.
Of course, yes, and that's appropriate there. That's fine. And, you know, and no one's required to give you that information, though, just to be, you know, clear. You're asking and hoping out of collegiality someone will. As to Carolyn's question as to who's requesting the inspections, I don't see any violation of law, confidentiality, or anything else to say what directors are requesting directors' inspections. I don't think any of us are embarrassed when we ask to inspect things. So.
Orders of the day.
Thank you, Campbell. The orders of the day are to move on, but I do need to finish wrapping up with a few questions that were asked during this portion. Ken, you also had a question?
Perhaps it'll be in closed session, but I'm not certain that transcripts are part of the legal documents available for director's inspection. Those are court transcripts of work that the attorney did. It's not documents of the business of the foundation. I don't really think, that all documents. But that may be discussed in closed session.
Well, I can dispense with that issue here. They are part of the court record. They are part of public record. They are something that you have to pay for, usually rather dearly, to obtain in the first place. Normally, they are only requested when something goes on appeal. Director's inspection or not, I'm sure directors have a right to see transcripts which have been already produced and are in possession of counsel working for the foundation. I do not think that directors have the ability to, absent a vote of the board, to direct counsel to procure transcripts at potentially hundreds of dollars if they have not already been procured for some board-approved action, such as an appeal. So that being said, I think the director's inspection does not necessarily have to do with the legal portion of the discussion we're having. So to wrap up, the two directors that have requested inspections were requesting an inspection of documents held at the national office, and I believe they are Dan Siegel and Laura Privis, via proxies. They were sending representatives to perform those inspections on their behalf. And that's what I know about that. So,
Arlene, to the stack, please.
Arlene, go ahead, please.
Yeah, the one situation that I have concerning directors requesting inspections, in this particular case, the quest came from someone who was not a director, but rather said, I am representing a director. And I did not get anything from that director for close to about 18 hours after, maybe 20 hours after the request came in.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Sunday night, which I found a little, I get a little frustrated with unnecessary things happening on the weekends. But
I should think so.
But
we're continuing to pursue
the real issue
matter.
Is, I think that any time that a director is appointing someone as their designate, they do need to notify us of that before we hear from the designate, and that concerns me.
Thank you, Arlene.
Carolyn, on the stack again, please.
Have a week.
Orders of the day, Madam Chair.
We are so past time, Carolyn. Is it necessary?
Well, as long as we need to know who the proxies are.
Orders of the day, please.
Okay, and I thank you, Campbell.
And I have a point of order.
Teresa?
Okay, I am concerned, as a director, this is kind of like the first I heard of this, and I think we as a board have a right to know who is doing inspections and is it, I don't know what they're asking for, but like does not the foundation have a lawsuit against one of the people that is asking for inspection? So this is, I think, to me, it might be a delicate subject. So I don't appreciate somebody saying orders of the day and trying to rush our executive director or rush us. I don't want our executive director.
This is not on the agenda.
True.
Well, it all arose as part of the.
Tell me where else I can bring it up, okay?
Okay.
So it gets
put it on the agenda.
No, folks, Campbell, please. It came up as part of the chair's report. And people asked questions relative to the legal information I gave, and it's fine to answer those questions. We should have legal counsel and discuss it in executive session for a further discussion of director's inspections rights when one of those or more of those people may be involved in litigation against the organization. Director's inspections generally do not require any approval, notice, or anything else. I mean, people can, you know, you can walk in and say, I'd like to look in this drawer right now. I mean, it's very broad, our rights under California law. How that impacts when someone is also a litigant is a different matter. Our counsel is not with us tonight, so we're going to move on from here now. But it doesn't mean at our next meeting we shouldn't go ahead and have a further discussion with counsel. And I'm happy to seek his opinion on that if that's the desire of the board. So that being said, let us move on in the agenda.
I would like you to contact our counsel and ask if there are any steps we should take when someone that we have a case against is asking for inspection rights, whether he's there himself or sending someone else. I want to know what actions we need to take to make sure that they don't come across something that they're not privy to.
Thank you. I think we will take this issue up. I will go ahead and request an opinion as to this. Maybe even I request an opinion on this subject, frankly, previously from previous counsel. But I'm happy to inquire as to how California law is impacted with director's inspections with pending litigation. So, but that being said, let us move on to the next item on the agenda, okay? All right. Thank you, everyone. And I know there's a lot of interest and concern about, you know, these particular issues, but we can only exhaust them so much here to this evening. Okay. Next thing on the agenda, I do believe, is the Personnel Committee, if I'm not incorrect. One second. Let me look at it.
It is summer.
Thank you, Nia. That's what I thought. Okay, so that would be you, correct, Nia?
Yes.
Would you like to go ahead and present on the motion that's pending from the Personnel Committee?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Well, this is the 10th birthday of this motion that's been on this agenda, so we're finally here. So happy birthday to this motion. It is the Pacifica Foundation Program Director Search Process. And this this came into being, actually, this is since 2010 that we were trying to work on standardized processes for these areas. I know Arlene had asked for them earlier, and in an effort to assist in that, she came up with this. She was also a part of this, but it's been so long, people might have forgotten about it. So I will begin by reading, and please bear with me here. And it says, whereas Article 7, Local Station Boards, Section Specific Powers and Duties, Section E of the bylaws, quote.
There is just squeaking again on Athenia speak. Can we take care of that? Thank you.
Folks, I think it's the whole mute problem. Everybody pounce on one so we can hear better. Thank you.
Quote, to screen and select.
Go ahead, Nia.
Quote, to screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of station program director, which pool of approved candidates the station's general manager hire the station's director. LSB, the local station board or LSB, made a special subcommittee purpose, and that passed with objection. And that's squeaking. Somebody's maybe cell phone is too close. I don't know what's going on. Be hereby resolved that the following steps shall be taken in sequence in order to conduct an approved search for a candidate to fill an open position. All references below to quote unquote national office specifically indicate the National Human Resources worker, if one is in place, or if not, the executive director. That was passed without objection. The first item in the process, one second, I have a large copy here. One, where an LSB creates a search subcommittee, the LSB shall specify in the motion which creates it, which of the procedures it intends to delegate. Such a subcommittee shall include a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 11 members consisting of LSB members, including paid and unpaid staff members, and may also include non-LSB listener members and non-LSB staff members. Names, email addresses, and phone numbers of all subcommittee members shall be sent to the office. That, too, was passed without objection. Number two, the PNV Personnel Committee shall provide a copy of the job description, candidate evaluation criteria, and, for non-LSB members of a created subcommittee, a confidentiality agreement to be executed by the subcommittee's second meeting. Passed without objection. Number three, the LSB or its subcommittee shall arrange through the National Office for publication of an ad in venues reaching diverse communities per FCC and EEO guidelines, and the ad shall be placed within 7 days of the request. Ad budget shall be set by the GM and LSB. In addition, an ad shall be posted at the station's premises, on its website, and airways, and its e-newsletter or other publication. Application period shall be 30 to 45 days, and applications shall be submitted to a central location in the national office and then distributed in their entirety. via email to the LSB or his subcommittee and the GM. Passed without objection. Number four, the LSB or its subcommittee shall create a timeline not to exceed 6 months to complete its work, including meetings, rankings, interviews, and reports at each LSB meeting. The timeline shall include a meeting at which the subcommittee shall receive training from the National Office on Laws and Rules Concerning the Hiring Process. The LSB or subcommittee may or may not arrange a meeting of the qualified candidate finalists with the paid and unpaid staff. Passed without objection. Number five, all LSB or subcommittee meetings regarding the hiring process shall be noticed to the public and held according to the open meeting provisions of the Pacifica bylaws. Passed without objection. Number six, to ensure equal treatment of all candidates, each interview round shall be conducted by the same method. Example, phone, in person, etc. Sorry. Passed without objection. Number seven, the LSB or its subcommittee shall formulate a list of standard interview questions for all candidates. Passed without objection. Number eight, the LSB or its subcommittee shall decide on its pool, 3 to 5, and rankings of recommended candidates using single transferable voting, with LSB or subcommittee members strongly encouraged to write a brief explanation of their vote. Passed without objection. Number nine, if as the 6 month mark of the subcommittee's existence approaches, it appears that the subcommittee will not complete its work, the LSB may reaffirm the subcommittee and extend its term or reconstitute using the same process articulated in number one above. Passed without objection. Number 10, in the case of the search subcommittee, it shall write a final public report explaining the process it went through in its search and recommendations, and shall also submit a confidential appendix to the LSB containing the names and rankings of its recommended pool members, 3 to 5, along with any explanations written by subcommittee members of their votes. Passed without objection. Number 11, if no subcommittee is created, the LSB shall prepare a public report as described above in a confidential appendix to the GM containing the names and rankings of its recommended pool members, 3 to 5, along with any explanations written by LSB members of their votes. Passed without objection. 12, if the selection is made by a subcommittee, the LSB shall, in executive session, discuss and vote on whether to accept the candidate pool and rankings as presented by the subcommittee, or may revisit the pool of qualified candidates or review the process. Passed without objection. And finally, number 13, as per Article 7, Section 3E of the Pacifica Bylaws, the general manager shall make the final decision regarding which individual from the pool shall be offered the position. Said decision shall be made and reported to the LSB within a month of receipt of the LSB's recommendations. That too passed without objection.
Thank you, Nia. Is that the whole thing?
Yes.
Kathy, okay, back, please.
Kathy?
Yes.
All right.
Alex.
Go ahead. Kathy, then Alex. Who else after Alex?
Campbell for Stack.
Campbell? After Campbell? Okay. We'll take it from there. Kathy, Alex, and Campbell. Go ahead, Kathy.
Yes, I would like to offer an amendment to this motion. In Section 4, I wish to propose that we remove may or may not arrange a meeting of the qualified candidate finalists with paid and unpaid staff, and replace with shall arrange a meeting. And the other part to that amendment is to remove Section 9.
Section 9. Okay.
Chair,
Okay.
Is that an amendment, Kathy?
That's an amendment for those two changes.
Is there a second? Is there a second to the amendment by Davis?
I'm sorry, what is the section 9, please?
That after 6 months, Mark, of the subcommittee's existence approaches, it appears that the subcommittee will not complete its work. The LSD may reaffirm the subcommittee and extend its term or reconstitute using the same process articulated in number one above.
What's the point of order, Madam Chair?
I'm sorry, Campbell. What are you asking?
Point of order.
What is the point of order, please?
These are two different things, and you know, I would think that if an amendment is offered, that it would be for one at a time, because someone may prefer one and not the other.
I'm sorry, isn't this all part of one long motion coming from personnel, or am I unclear on that?
Let me clarify. My point of order is with regard to the proposed amendment to the motion, in that it's a two-part amendment. It's addressing two parts. I'm okay with the fact that we have one whole thing being submitted by the committee, but to amend two parts of it, which someone may go along with amending one part and not with amending the other part, but you can't. I don't think that it's good practice to put both of them together in the same bailiwick. Do you see
what
I'm saying?
Well, it's probably the choice of the movement whether she wishes to put two together or offer them as separate amendments, and someone else can move to divide the question. But, you know, if that's how she wishes to put forward the amendment to amend both sections simultaneously, there's nothing against that in Robert. So someone can subsequently move to separate the question if they think that's appropriate.
Summer?
Is there a second?
Summer, if I may.
Kathy, okay, let me just hear what Nia had to say, and then I'll go to you, Kathy, okay?
Yes.
Nia?
I think I understood what Kathy, I guess because it was her turn, she just put them both out there. No, I haven't talked with her because it's the first time I'm hearing this, but I think Kathy's intent was to just let us know what she had on her mind. So could I suggest that we take the first one, right, but the may or may not. Well, first it needs to be seconded, and I haven't heard a second. So before we can even discuss it, it needs to be seconded, or else there's no point in discussing it.
Correct. So let's take care of that. Kathy, what did you want to say before I go back to that?
Point of procedure, Madam Chair. Were there two amendments or one?
I'm hoping to get that clarified by Kathy. Go ahead, Kathy.
No, I don't have any particular objection to it being two amendments. I was just trying to be succinct with my comments of what I wish to change about this motion.
Right.
Sure.
It could be two amendments. I have no objection to that.
Okay.
I will second both, Carolyn, here.
Okay, so you're the second on both amendments.
As long as separate, yes.
We'll have to handle them as separate issues. Nia, do you want to say further now that it's been seconded as to Kathy's intent or your perception of it?
Okay. I hear what Kathy is saying, but how about, I think, may or may not. I think it's good to offer people flexibility, because if the subcommittee or the LSB, during its deliberations, it could decide that it doesn't want to do that. There are some stations, and we're represented by all stations in the committee, who some folks didn't want that, and some folks wanted it. And that's why the committee came up with may or may not. So I don't know, Kathy, if that satisfies you. It would be up to the individual local station board to say they want to do it or they don't want to do it. This way, everybody is happy, in my opinion.
Well, I disagree.
So, as the maker of the motion, and I don't want to spend too much time in discussion, so let's just handle the amendments and then the main motion. Kathy, could you go ahead and state your first amendment, and we'll take a vote on that one, and we'll see how that goes. We'll take the second amendment.
Okay.
If there's further discussion, and then we'll go to the main motion.
Okay.
Please restate and restate the section that the amendment goes to as well, since it's a very long motion. Thank you.
I'm looking at the section 4, and considering that the staff is are the people that work with the PD most closely, I think it would be a disservice to the staff and the station not to allow them to have an opportunity to meet the qualified candidates. So I would remove may or may not and put shall.
Okay, that's clear. So do you want to call for a vote, Summer?
Oh, God.
Arlene to the stack.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Excuse me. I was on the stack. Do I ever get a chance to speak here?
I was as well.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Nee, I'll come back to you because you've spoken quite a bit. I will take it was Alex, then Campbell, then Arlene.
I don't want to speak. I'm sorry. I didn't want to speak.
Okay, go ahead. Alex?
Okay, I'd like to speak against the amendment and against the main motion as well. I'm not saying against. Let's just say I think it needs more work, and I would like to make a motion to refer this back to the Personnel Committee. I feel that the motion as presented really cuts into the autonomy of the local station board. It's fine to propose some general standards for search committees, but this is going way beyond that. It's providing a blueprint for local station boards, and I don't think we need that. I would like to see something much more in the way of providing certain standards that have to be followed for the search process, leave the details of implementation up to the local station board. I move to refer this back to the Personnel Committee. Amendments and as well as the main motion.
Madam Chair?
Who is that?
This is Lydia. I don't think you can take a third amendment at this point until we have settled one of the other two.
There's only one amendment.
The motion to refer isn't an amendment.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
Carolyn here.
I second the amendment of the second amendment. Thank you.
Okay. So was that Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Who
yes, was it was.
Thank you. Okay. So a motion to refer is always in order, even when are amendments pending.
Sorry about
this
that.
Isn't an amendment. This is just a motion to refer the whole thing with the pending amendments and all the rest of it back to the Personnel Committee.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, okay, so it has a second. Is there any objection to referring this back to the Personnel Committee?
Madam Chair?
Yes. Yes,
this is Campbell.
Yes.
Do I get to speak?
Well, you know how it is. Every time something gets offered, it changes things around, but I'm happy to hear from you. So, would you like to speak?
Sure.
Go ahead.
My point is that, with being at a station where we've been involved in this kind of a search, I think that it is very useful to have the guidance that this would provide from the Personnel Committee. I think that it does provide a great degree of flexibility. In fact, the point that Director Davis was making about may or may not arrange a meeting, I think that gives a bit more flexibility to the LSB and the subcommittee. I think that throughout this, it seems to be a well-reasoned approach. And sometimes I know that some people on a particular station board may, let's say, turn a process to, that doesn't make sense to one that doesn't make sense. This one makes sense. It's focused, and I think it's something that would be a good idea. This doesn't, it seems to me, we aren't etching it in granite, but it gives a procedure that can be followed and that I think has been, addressed in terms of engaging potential legal issues. So I think it's very important for us to go forward with this kind of thing. We are always talking about being concerned about the number of lawsuits that we get, and I would suspect that a fair amount of them, as we have discussed, result from not having procedures in place. May not be perfect procedures, but just not having any procedures in place. And whereas a director mentioned autonomy of the individual LSB, I don't think that that's quite an issue. I think that LSBs are dealing with issues that maybe a lot of people who are on the LSB do not have real professional experience in, and so this kind of guidance would be very beneficial. Thank you very much.
This is Lydia, if you can add me to this.
And also Nia Summer.
And also Revelyn. Hello?
Summer?
Hello?
Okay, the matter on the floor right now is a motion to refer. I presume Campbell was speaking against the motion to refer.
This is
Are there
correct.
Any people? Yeah. Is there anyone else who wishes?
Yes, Nia, Lydia, please. If you can add me to the stack.
Revelyn? Revelyn?
Nia, Lydia, I think Revelyn. I hear Arlene.
I heard Revelyn. No, Arlene was on before. And Arlene, did you wish to be on the stack for the motion?
Not on the refer issue. I was talking, okay. Mine was on the amendment
thank
to
you.
Whatever number four.
Okay,
this
so I have.
I think I'm
Nia,
next. Summer.
Lydia, and Revelyn.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't know. Alex said that it's somehow it is removing autonomy, and I would like for him to tell me what part is concerning him, because I think it gives the local station board a lot of autonomy. So specifically, what is it that is of concern to Alex? I'd like to ask Alex that.
Just as a matter of order, I can't have a back and forth. If Alex wants to speak again, if he wants to go back on stack,
okay.
The thing that's on the floor right now is the motion to refer, where further debate as to, you know, issues directors may have with it. And, of course, you know, as a reminder, all directors are welcome to sit in on any committee. They can't vote on committees of which they're not regular members, but they can certainly comment about something pending before a committee if they have concerns about it.
Finish.
So
thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
I'd like to finish. I was strongly urged to not refer this. Like I said, this is the 10th month and 13th birthday of this motion. It's been sitting around for that length of time. I also incorporated suggestions that people had from there, except for what Kathy just said. I didn't hear that concern before, but we can certainly talk about it. To send it back to the personnel committee to do what with it, I really don't know, but I don't see where it's disempowering any LSB here. I mean, they're going to create, if they want to create a search subcommittee, they can. It gives guidance. And remember, there are four interim PDs in the network. I think we do need uniformity. So, and this gives uniformity and a lot of flexibility.
Okay, thank you,
Alex, on the spec.
Okay, so Lydia, Revelyn, Alex, I'm sure we're at time soon.
Yes, I mean, given the fact that we have some of our interim program directors in place as interims for 3 years, I don't know what Alex is objecting to, but which was the reason for the number 9. It may be because they don't have a quorum for a committee or any number of reasons. So we've tried to cover every aspect that could possibly be slowing down these processes so as to make them more viable in terms of workplace norms, because this is not normal for any workplace to have these interim positions. We are eventually going to run into problems, which is the reason we came up with what we thought was a reasonable process. But it wasn't without debate. We have all of our open sessions where all of these were discussed, of course, recorded at KPFTX. So I urge people to go back and listen to those, because there were as many aspects of this as we could think of, to come up with it, reword it, hone it down, reconsider, back and forth. But we really are against the wall in terms of having to make some decisions and put in place some reasonable processes for our IPD search. for our PD searches, rather.
Carolyn, on the stack, Madam Chair.
So that was against referring it back to the committee.
Thank you. I presumed it was against. Thank you. Okay, so we have Revelin, Alex, Carolyn, and I'm hoping we will go to a vote. Thank you.
Actually,
go
I have
ahead.
A point of procedure, Madam Chair. Does that take
precedence?
Yes. It is now 10:09. We were scheduled to adjourn at 10, so I would call for orders of the day.
We had taken the time
it's
certain.
10:30.
Yeah, we're not actually at adjournment time, but I think we are probably at time for this item. I don't know. Bill,
we started at 9:44, so it's...
We have four more minutes.
Four more minutes. There we go. So I would like to go ahead and let Revelin and Alex speak, and then we'll take a vote on the motion. Thank you. Go ahead, Revelin.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I'm also speaking against referring it back to the committee. I chaired a mass committee that went through this process, and I'm back on the mass committee that is going through it again. This is a blueprint, and as I read it, and I read fairly well, you know, as I read it, I see nothing in stone, and if something does not work, I think... we can say this actually does not work, but to refer it back is to not have an answer at all, not have anything you can measure by, and so I don't think there's anything here that will stand in our way. And as Campbell said, it helps to prevent lawsuits because there is at least some form of uniformity. I'm finished.
Thank you, Revelin. Okay, go ahead, Alex, and that's fine because you're the proposer of the motion, so you'll get the final word.
Okay, just to clarify, I'm not saying everything in this motion is bad. There are some very good things in it. I just think it needs to be rethought the way it's formulated. I do think there's a certain language in here that seems to be not so much asking the local station boards to follow certain procedures, but telling them to do it. I don't think that's right. I think if the members of the personnel committee would like, I'd be glad to sit in on their next meeting and present a detailed proposal of an alternative motion that I would like to see, or something along those lines. Obviously, we don't. The other problem is we don't really have the time to digest all the complexities of this motion in the 2 minutes or whatever it is that we have left. So a vote up and down in this motion would be a little silly at this point.
Thank you. All right. So discussion being had, and we're at time. Madam Secretary, I'd ask that you call the roll, please. The matter on the floor is whether to refer this personnel motion back Personnel Committee for further reworking an amendment, or to vote on it this evening. A yes vote will refer it back to the Personnel Committee. A no vote will not, and it will be back up on the floor this evening with amendments. Thank you. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please?
Did I hear Ken Aaron come on?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you vote?
Yes.
Okay. Ivan Alsame, is he absent?
Point of information, please.
Yes, Wesley. Wesley? I can't
hear
you.
I'm sorry, my phone.
Wesley?
No, I have another one. Yes, I'm here. My point of information was... is this to send it back to committee? Yes vote will send it back to committee.
That is correct. A yes vote will refer it back to the personnel committee, and no vote will keep it on for this evening.
Okay,
thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Go ahead, Madam Secretary. Sorry for the interruption.
Teresa Allen. Can't hear you, Teresa.
No.
Nia Bediaco?
No.
Wesley Bethune?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Brazon?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Revelyn Gold?
No.
Heather Gray?
Yes.
Campbell Johnson?
No.
Ali Alexa?
Yes.
Ifia Van Gaza votes no. Laura Priebus?
No.
Excuse me. Marcel Reed?
No.
George Ryder?
Pass.
Okay. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes, refer to committee.
Excuse me. Dan Siegel, excuse. Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
No.
Okay. George Ryder?
I'll abstain.
Okay. I believe I have everyone. So it's one, two, three, four.
Excuse me. Could you? I didn't hear the last vote of Mr. Ryder.
Abstain. Abstain. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, yes. And one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten no's. And one abstention.
That's correct.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
You're welcome.
So the motion fails. It's not referred to committee. We're back to amendments. All right, and I'm sure we're exceeding time for this matter at this point. So, Kathy, if you would be there. Bill, we're past time, correct, on this matter?
Yes.
Okay, so what we are going to do, that means the matter is on the floor. We will not have further discussion. Kathy, if you would read your first amendment, and then we will vote on it. And then we'll take your second amendment, and we'll vote on that, and then we'll take the personnel motion as a whole. So if you could please read your first amendment with the section that it is amending, that would be most helpful. Thank you.
I misplaced my glasses. In section 4, it was to take away shall, may or may not, and replace it with shall. A meeting with staff.
Thank you. That's the entirety of the amendment, is changing may or may not to shall.
That's the first one, yes.
Okay, so from the permissive to the mandatory. Thank you. Okay, it had a second. And this is to what section of the original motion?
4.
Four. Thank you. All right. So a yes vote on this amendment will change the permissive language of may or may not meet with staff. Is that correct? In 4 of the personnel motion to shall meet with staff. A yes vote will support the change of that language and that amendment. A no vote will not and leave it in its original form. Madam Secretary, if you could call the roll, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Ken Aaron.
I'm sorry. This is Reverend. Can you say that one more time? Which way? What? How it goes?
The change. I'm sorry. Was I supposed to answer that?
Summer, would you like me to read it? What Kathy?
No, I found it. I just don't know what S or what no is.
Sorry, who is asking the question?
This is Revelyn. I said this is Revelyn, and could you say which way the vote is?
Yes, a yes. We're on the amendment, so a yes would support the amendment, and the amendment is change the language from may or may not to shall.
Yeah, yes is to support it, and no is to let it stay
correct.
As it is.
Correct.
Is that
correct?
Thank you.
A yes will amend the motion in regards to that particular section, and a no will leave it as it currently is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Now, Madam Secretary, if you would call the roll, please.
Ken Aaron.
Can't hear you, Ken. Ivan Alsame. Can't hear you, Ivan. Teresa Allen.
Teresa says no.
Mia Bediaco. Nia Bediaco. Can't hear you, Nia. Can't hear you, Nia. Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
Carolyn Burden.
Pass.
Lydia Brisson.
No.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Revlon Gold.
No.
Heather Gray.
Yes.
Campbell Johnson.
No.
Allie Lexner.
No.
Isia Von Gaza votes no. Laura Priebus.
No.
Excuse me. Marcel Reed.
No.
George Ryder.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg. Can't hear you. Thank you. Alex Steinberg.
No.
Andrea Turner.
No.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Abstain.
How do you? Okay. Carolyn Burton.
I will abstain.
Nia Bediaco.
Sorry, Pia. I vote yes.
Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 no. And 2 abstentions.
I'm sorry, what was the count again? Yes, was it? And the yes and the no?
6 yes, 10 no, 2 abstentions.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The amendment fails. We go to the second amendment. Kathy, could you please read the language of your amendment and the section that is amending and what's being changed? Thank you.
I misplaced my glasses somewhere, so I can't read it. But it was in section 9.
Would you like me to read it, Summer? But somebody needs to move the phone away from the whatever. Would you like me to read it, Summer?
Can you read the original section 9, and then Kathy can tell us what the changes are, please?
Okay.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
If, as the 6-month mark of the subcommittee's existence approaches, it appears that the subcommittee will not complete its work, the LSB may reaffirm the subcommittee and extend its term or reconstitute using the same process articulated in number 1 above. number one above, says, where an LSV creates search subcommittee, LSV shall specify in the motion which creates it which of the procedures it intends to delegate. Such a subcommittee shall include a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 11 members, consisting of LSV members, including paid and unpaid staff members, and may also include non-LSV listener members and non-LSV staff members. Names, email addresses, and phone numbers of all subcommittee members shall be sent to the national office. And what did Kathy want to do, Madam Chair?
I don't know. Kathy, can you go ahead and say what changes you wish to make? What the amendment is to say
that section.
Do you want to hear her?
Eliminate that number.
Okay, she wants to delete section 9. That is the amendment, correct? Is that correct, Kathy? Deletion of section 9?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, folks, so this is the amendment on the floor.
Point of order.
Sorry. Who is that?
Point of order.
Who is the point of order?
George.
Thank you, George. Go ahead.
Not only have we had no discussion of this, we haven't even had the maker of the motion motivated. It seems to me that that's in order, at least.
Thank you. That's fine, George. That's a good point of order. All right.
Point of order, Madam Chair. We're at time, and so we're just voting now.
Yeah, that's true.
This has been true. And we could extend time. I don't mind letting the maker of the motion simply state why she wishes to delete that section. I don't find that to be that problematic. Madam Chair, who is that?
This is Lydia. But if she motivates, you won't allow.
Then you want to be
discussion?
Able to do a rebuttal. Sure. Does somebody want to move for 5 minutes additional time?
So moved.
Is that George? Okay. Is there a second?
I second. This is Lydia.
Thank you, Lydia. Is there any objection? And hearing none. Thank you. Kathy, go ahead and motivate, please.
Yes. From my perspective, to restart a committee halfway through means an extension of time. People would have to go back to the beginning, and I don't see how that would save time. To me, it looks like it will extend the process much longer. And that's my reason. I don't see that it saves anything, but extends.
Alex, I'm a sec.
Sorry. I'd like to go after Kathy. This is Nia.
This is Lydia.
I'd like to be on.
Okay, folks, I don't even know that Kathy was done speaking before other people started talking. Kathy, were you done talking?
I apologize.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done. That's my reason for not liking that particular part of it. I just from my experience, I foresee, and I've been on these committees, that one, if a new committee is formed, it's not going to be able to pick up where the last committee ended. It's going to be restarting the whole process. And to me, that's not a recipe for a good outcome. It will extend the process determinably.
Camel force that.
Thank you. Okay, so I had heard Alex, I heard Nia, I heard, who is the other male voice? And
Campbell.
I didn't know if it was Campbell, and did Lydia wish to be on
yes,
the stack
you,
or not?
You heard Lydia.
Okay, so Lydia. And Lydia was the first person I'd heard way back. So I'm going to go Lydia, Alex, Nia, Campbell, and was there anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Lydia.
Yes. Now, I've served on search committees for the hires within Pacifica. We've been able to complete our work in 3 to 4 months. So to add a couple of months leeway there is reasonable. To have something extend beyond that is unreasonable. Not only are your resumes cold and stagnant, but it keeps recycling, and then you start running into the end of the whole term of the LSB and so on and so forth. This is just the end of the subcommittee. It then would have to go to the LSB, presumably, in most instances and so forth. So the whole process, you probably couldn't form a subcommittee till February, something like that, in a normal year. So So now you're at the end of the year. So 6 months is really a reasonable time to do your work. It means that you might have to meet more than once a month, hopefully, a couple of times a month, but get your work done. Otherwise, there's no incentive to move on these positions, and it just goes on in an open-ended manner, and that just doesn't make sense. As the motion says, we're not saying you have to start a new committee, but you at least have to see what is the problem with the committee, why couldn't you do it, it might be reasonable, and so let's keep the committee. It's not like people are knocking down our doors to be on these work-intense committees. So I think it's a reasonable section, and I urge that we keep.
Thank you, Lydia. Alex Nia Campbell.
Okay. Well, the discussion of this amendment and the previous one perfectly highlights what I think is the problem with this motion as a whole. We're dictating to the local station boards what they have to do. They have to have up to 11 members or a minimum of 7 members, and then if they time out after 6 months, what happens then? I actually think the amendment proposed makes the motion even worse, because they give less leeway to the local station board. I really think, I would really urge that these amendments be voted down and that the main motion, I'm not in favor of voting it down. I really would like to see it referred back to the personnel committee and to be refashioned.
Thank you, Alex. Okay, Nia and then Campbell.
George, too.
Okay.
Sorry, and then George.
I know people have been busy and they've been preoccupied with other things, but like I said again, I celebrate the anniversary of the birthday of this thing for 10 months and 13 days. And if there are members on the committee, we actually, like Lydia said earlier, all these opinions came up, we talked about them, we rehashed them, and this was all discussed. And so usually I don't like to repeat, but it is correct. It said the LSB may reaffirm the subcommittee and extend its term or reconstitute. It's not saying it shall. And I do agree with Alex on this. That would be taking power away from the local station board. To send this back for this to be rehashed, I think we are the ultimate body. We're the deciding body. We can do this. It's a work, you know, if people want to, hello, I'm sorry. So there's no reason to refer this. We can just vote it up or down. Here.
Thank you, Nia. Campbell, and then George, and we'll go to a vote. Go ahead, Campbell.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. And, you know, being out in an LSB and on the committee that's dealing with this situation, I think that it is very good for the LSB to have an opportunity to, you know, objectively look at what it wants to do from the point that it's at, whether it's going to say that the committee needs to be reconstituted or whether it will decide any number of things. This at least puts them on a specific path so that they can be achieving a positive result. And I think that that's a very important kind of guidance for this governance body to undertake in regard to working with its LSBs and working with getting this very important position of program director filled. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Campbell. Go ahead, George.
And that's my concern, actually, that if I want to support Kathy's amendment, that it allows an LSB essentially to continue this process indefinitely by reconstituting committees for 6 months. And I don't see that makes any sense. If the committee isn't functioning, something could be done along the way, but clearly the sense of the whole thing is we're going to get this done in 6 months. Not that we're going to get it to 6 months if we can, and if not, we'll extend it for another 6 months. So I support Kathy's amendment.
Thank you, George. Okay, well, we're at time on the extension, so we'll go ahead and go to a vote now. This is on the amendment to delete Section 9 of the Personnel Committee motion. A yes vote will delete that section. A no vote will leave it in the underlying main motion. Madam Secretary, will you call the roll, please?
Okay. Ken Aaron? Ken there? Can't hear you, Ken. Let's see. Teresa Allen?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Teresa says no.
Nia Bediaco?
No.
Wesley Bethun?
Pass.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Lydia Brisson?
No.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Reverend Gold?
No.
Heather Gray?
No.
Campbell Johnson?
No.
Allie Lexa?
Yes.
Ifea Wangaza votes no. Laura Priebus? Marcel Reed?
No.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Chelsea Rosenberg?
Yes.
Alex Steinberg?
No.
Andrea Turner?
No.
Okay, let's see. Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
I think that was the only pass. So let's go. One, two.
Ken Aaron didn't vote yet.
Are you there, Ken Aaron? I don't think Ken's there.
Somebody call him.
He didn't answer for the previous amendment, and he didn't answer for this one. So I'm going to count the votes. One, two, three, four, five, six, yes. And one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, no's. Yeah, 12. Six yes, 12 no's, and no abstention.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Okay, folks, that brings us to the underlying main motion from the Personnel Committee with all of its nine parts intact. So a yes vote will make this the new policy of the Pacific National Board regarding search committees, and a no vote will not. So, are there any questions before we begin calling the roll so we don't have points of information once we're actually finding out people are voting? Okay. All right, folks. So this is the main motion. It has not amended. And, again, a yes vote will support this motion. A no vote will not. Thank you. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Okay. Ken Aaron?
No.
Okay. Teresa Allen?
Yes.
Nia Bediaco?
Yes.
Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden? Can't hear you, Carolyn.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was muted. No.
Lydia Brisson?
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
No, still needs work.
Kathy Davis?
Pass.
Reverend Gold?
Yes.
Heather Gray?
Yes.
Campbell Johnson?
Yes.
Allie Lexa?
Pass.
If Thea Wangaza votes yes. Laura Priebus?
Yes.
Marcel Reed?
Yes.
George Ryder?
No.
Is that a no?
No.
Okay. Tracy Rosenberg?
No.
Alex Steinberg?
No.
Andrea Turner? Yes. Okay, let's see. Kathy Davis?
No.
Ally Lexa?
I'm going to have to go no.
Okay, I think that was all of the passes. So we go 1, 2, 3.
I'm sorry, what did Ally Lexa vote? I couldn't hear him at all.
No. You voted no.
Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, yes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no.
Madam Secretary,
I counted 8.
I counted 9.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
I counted 9 yes and 8 no.
Okay,
well,
I counted
9 yes and 8 no. I
counted every vote.
No,
I counted every vote, too. I got 8 no's and
11 yes. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I have 11
yes. 11
yeses.
Correct.
That's
correct.
Correct.
2, 11 yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
11 yes and how many no?
9.
And
8. 7 no's, right.
No,
I
have
chair, could the yes votes be read again? I have 9 also.
I can't deny.
No,
nine,
you don't.
There's no way.
No, I had 9 also. So
no way.
Please, folks, this is not complicated. This does not require personal imputation, okay? There are sometimes mistakes.
No, just read it.
And we're just asking the secretary to please
okay,
read it again. The recording secretary has confirmation. That would be helpful.
Is the recording secretary present?
I believe he was, but that he may be on mute, I hope. So practically, recording secretary, can you please also, and then we'll see.
Recording secretary is present.
What did the recording secretary get? I'm sorry, I didn't hear him somewhere. What did he say?
Can you confirm, Mr. Gary, what the count was with our board secretary?
I have to recount the no's.
Okay, well, then we'll let the board secretary take it because there was a request just to reread it. Fia, could you be kind enough to...
8 no's, 11 8.
Exactly,
11
8.
Okay, well,
that's what we got.
That's right, exactly.
Well, clearly several of us missed 2 yeses, so... is there still a request to reread the vote or not?
There is from me, yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Madam Secretary, could you go ahead and just please reread the names of the yeses and the no's? Thank you. Yes.
The yeses are Teresa Allen, Betty Acco, Leslie Bassoon, Lydia Brazon, Revlon Gold, Heather Gray, Campbell Johnson, Ethea Wangaza, Laura Priebus, Marcel Reed, Andrea Turner. The no's are Tim Aaron, Carolyn Burden, Bill Crozier, Kathy Davis, Ally Lexa, George Ryder, Tracy Rosenberg, Alex Steinberg.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. And there were no abstentions?
There were no extensions.
Okay. And I know I want to be not here. Laura Priebus responded also. She's one of the people that I don't know. Okay. Thank you. So the motion carries 11 to 8, correct? Thank you.
Adjourn to executive session.
Oh, God. Very good, Nia. Thank you. Okay. Well, it does seem that
thank
that was.
You, Nia.
Oh, Lord.
I'm sorry?
I said, ooh, Lord, let's go. It's getting late.
Okay. Thank you, Nia. Is there any objection to adjourning to executive session?
Without objection.
Thank you. Okay, y'all. See you in a minute. Thank you.